I'm on the phone with Dave Hillemeyer, who's the Fisheries Department Director for the Yurok Tribe. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
All right. So a bunch of us received a notification about a commercial fishery closure. What can you tell us about that?
This is the third year in a row that the Yurok Tribe has not allowed for a commercial fishery because the allocation for the tribal harvest has been too small to meet that need because of the depressed status of Klamath River Falls Chinook over the last few years.
Tell me about this third year in a row. What was happening 4 years ago relative to what's going on these past 3 years? Natural history type stuff, different age classes. There's a recovery period, right, for fish in their life cycle?
Right. So this is 2018. So typically Klamath Falls Chinook return at age 3 and 4. So we're seeing the fish that were spawned in 2014 and 2015. And the juveniles during those years, especially the juveniles that came from the 2014 brood, experienced some extremely harsh conditions in the Klamath River and extremely high disease rates. And we feel that that's contributed to the collapse of Klamath Falls Chinook that we've seen over the last few years.
Right. The harsh conditions that you are talking about now, is that low water flow, high temperature? What is the nature of that situation?
Both of those are, of course, closely correlated. When you have really low flows, you typically have warm water temperatures in the river. But another thing, we had really high disease rates, especially back in 13, 14, and 15 during the drought period. And if you look at the hydrograph in the Klamath River, especially at Iron Gate Dam, you can see that we've had almost no high winter flows since about the year 2000. And the thinking is that that has contributed to these really high disease rates that we've seen in the river because of the life history of the disease, the parasite that we're seeing. Part of that life history, they actually infect a little polychaete worm on the bed of the river, and that worm is very vulnerable to high flows. But given that we've seen almost no high flow events since about the year 2000, we experienced these really high disease rates in 13, 14, and 15.
Okay, so we're dealing with the water flow situation relative to dams and water allocation, but also are we talking a climate situation and an ongoing drought? Is that a part of this?
That could very well be a contributing factor. I mean, it's hard to just look at 1 or 2 years and say, yeah, that's due to climate change, but it definitely falls within the scenario you would expect from climate change in regards to drier summer conditions and warmer water conditions.
So I want to get into sort of what your feeling about the prognosis of all of this is for future years, but let's talk about the impacts to community. And so you're working with the Yurok Tribe. Tell me about the impacts to community with this lack of health with respect to the salmon in the river.
Right. Well, the fact that they have not had any commercial opportunity for 3 years in a row, of course, is huge. There's a lot of tribal members where that's a primary source of income for them, is the opportunity to have the commercial fishing opportunities in August and September. It provides the funds to buy school clothes and pay bills and all of that. And that's been totally non-existent for the last few years. And on top of that, we had no subsistence fishery last year either, because the allocation was so small. We had 650 fish allocated to the Yurok Tribe last year, which is like a tenth of a fish for every Yurok tribal member.
Wow.
So the council chose to basically, except for a very small elders fishery program we had, they decided to not go after those 650 fish, but instead let them spawn because the spawning escapement was going to be too small anyway. And the year before was the second lowest allocation we'd ever had on record back in 2016. So it's been a rough time over the last few years for the tribe, both economically, but also just for sustenance.
You're describing this critical component for the local economy, but also culturally, right? This is really important to the community.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's a big part of their life. It's a big part of their ceremonies. The salmon are a big part of their ceremonies, but also just the Yurok way of life and teaching youngsters how to go out and gill net in the river and process the fish and all of that. I mean, that's almost been non-existent for the last couple of years. And so that's, you know, you get the social impacts from not being able to live that Yurok way of life, of course, has major ramifications.
Yeah, absolutely. So ecologically, some very serious things going on with the river and the salmon and other critters residing there. And then, of course, the community impacts. What can you say about what you guys are doing to try to deal with this?
Well, one thing we've been doing is we've been very involved in trying to deal with the water issues in the Klamath Basin to try to bring the demand for water in line with the amount of water that's currently available. We've also been very involved in the dam removal effort and are happy to say that it appears that we're on a trajectory to see the dams come out in 2021. And we think that that is going to do a lot to minimize the disease issues that we've been experiencing, as well as have a major impact on water quality downstream of where the dams currently are and allow access to several hundred miles of historic habitat in the Upper Klamath Basin. So that's a positive. We think that if the fish can hang on that long, that's going to do a lot to recover the fishery.
And you said if the fish can hang on that long, that's pretty serious.
Yeah, there's definitely some current concern with especially the coho salmon are not doing well at all, and we've got a lot of concern about spring Chinook also. And above the dams is where a lot of the historic spring Chinook habitat, at least on the Klamath side, used to be. And there's also a lot of thermorefugia in the Upper Klamath Basin. Mm. So removing the dams will not only get the spring Chinook back into some of their historic habitat, but will also allow them access to some of these thermorefuge areas, which are going to be more and more important as climate change continues to become a reality.
Right. And just as a reminder for the listeners, when were those dams put in?
Different times for different dams. The first ones were put in, to my understanding, I think it was 1917
okay.
when the first Kopko Dam was put in. And I'm not sure of the chronology of all of them, but I know the most recent one, Iron Gate Dam, was put in the early 1960s. So the first ones were 1917, and the most recent ones was 1960.
Right, and the salmon have not had access to all of that habitat upstream that they typically would have utilized.
That's right. Since 1917, that's
wow.
when the first dam put in and there was no fish passage. Although it's my understanding that the Klamath tribes were told, the Klamath tribes are the tribes up in Oregon, were told that there would be fish passage provided when that dam was put in, but that never became a reality.
So this ecological impact is many, many, many decades in the making.
Yep, that's right. That's very true.
So you said 2021 is the slotted year for at least some of the dams to be removed. Is that a moving target? Is that something solid, set in maybe not in stone, but are we clear that that is going to happen?
We're optimistic that that is when it's going to happen. Initially, it was 2020.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, it's been moved back 1 year, and there's still some permitting processes that are ongoing that need to be finalized, but from the best I can tell, it looks like things are moving in that direction for 2021.
And what can we say about what you're hoping on the other side of dam removal?
Well, what we're hoping for is, of course, a restored fishery, substantially better than what we've been seeing in recent years. And it's not as if we're putting these fish back into pristine habitat. We're well aware that there is still going to continue to be a lot of work to be done, both in the habitat in the lower basin and the upper basin. But we think that the impacts this is going to have on water quality and the disease issues that we talked about, as well as this access to several hundred miles more of historic habitat in the thermorefugia, is all going to be a positive for the populations.
Yeah, and with respect to the habitat, what sorts of restoration efforts are you anticipating engaging in order to, because you said these are not pristine stretches of river any longer, what will you have to do in order to make that safe again for the fish?
Well, there's definitely some water quality issues in the main stem Klamath River that stem from the upper basin. And part of it is because of land management activities in the upper basin. And so there's going to need to be a lot of work done upslope in regards to creek treating water quality and hopefully improving conditions within Upper Klamath Lake, as well as the main stem just down of Upper Klamath Lake. And there may even need to be some sort of partial water treatment facilities to try to clean up the river somewhat. But there's been a lot of brainstorming on ideas of things we could do to improve water quality in the upper basin. And of course, we've been real involved with a lot of habitat restoration efforts in the lower Klamath River, in the Trinity River. We've got a large Heliwood project that we're going to be conducting next week, actually, in the South Fork Trinity River, where we're going to be placing large wood by use of a helicopter in a stretch of river in the South Fork Trinity River to try to improve conditions for spring Chinook in that river, because they are hanging on by a thin thread right now in the South Fork Trinity River.
So you're making essentially safe spaces for them to be in the river, placing logs and such?
Yeah, I'm trying to enhance some of the thermal refugia spots so they have a place to over summer while they're waiting to spawn. But yeah, we're just trying to restore the habitat to be somewhat more similar to what it was historically.
That is a tremendous amount of work. Can you describe any other of the restoration efforts that you're involved in on the ground?
Well, we do a lot of work in the lower Klamath. A lot of that involves putting large wood structures in the streams to try to restore the natural wood budget for these streams. And, of course, large wood helps to create the habitat diversity that's needed for the different life stages of the salmon. We've also done a lot of work in the Upper Trinity as part of the Trinity River Restoration Program to try to fix some of the habitat that's been degraded by having the dams in place since the early 1960s in the Upper Trinity River, which dramatically altered the hydrograph and damaged habitat in the Upper Trinity. So those are some of the activities that we've been involved in recently. And as I mentioned, we're moving into the South Fork Trinity and we have a big project going on there.
Okay, that sounds like great work that you're doing. And you mentioned it's a little bit troubling to hear that water treatment might be necessary for the river. It is that bad then?
Well, by water treatment, I'm meaning more like a large-scale natural wetland type facility, which actually a lot of the Upper Klamath Basin historically was comprised of large wetland type areas that then would release relatively cool, clean water to the river throughout the summer months. Not something involving a lot of chemicals and things like that, but more natural processes.
Right, nature sort of cleaning itself with the wetland spaces.
Yes. Yep, but it'd have to be done at a fairly large scale, probably.
So what haven't I asked that you think the listeners should know about what's going on with the river, with salmon, and with restoration?
Well, I think that what we've experienced the last few years with the Yurok tribe in regards to, as I said, this being the third year in a row with no commercial fishing opportunity and even no subsistence opportunity last year, almost no subsistence opportunity 2 years ago, I think it really highlights the need that we've got some work to do and we got to fix this. And there is, you know, there's some light, though, given that we're projected to see the dams come down in 2021, and I think there is hope. And fortunately, salmon are extremely resilient. They've survived through some pretty traumatic events in the past, whether it be large-scale gold mining where mountains were basically moved into streams and things like that, the damming of streams, but they, for the most part, are able to hang on. We've got a couple of species now that are very concerned about, but if we do dramatically improve habitat conditions, we think there's hope.
That's beautiful to hear. Thanks, Dave, and we'll probably check in with you another time and see the progress on some of the restoration efforts, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that would be great. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.